It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Amen. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You love him tonight? Amen. I am amazed that he would love someone like me. Amen. But I'm thankful for it, and that just makes his grace that much more amazing. Amen. If it isn't amazing, then you don't know grace. Hallelujah. I love the fact that it's unmerited. I love the fact that we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't purchase it. It's something that he chose to give. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Hallelujah. Well, as you can see, tonight is Lord's Supper, and so we want to get right into our thought again this evening. Hear his voice. I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. So, make sure you drink water. There's your tip for the day, right? Because we're going to have a second June here. They say it's going to be 110 Wednesday and Thursday. Yikes. The last time it was 110 in August was when we moved here. It was August of 93, and August 1st it was 110, and we stayed anyway. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Aren't you glad that he has spoken to us? Amen. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised. Shook my iPad. Now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now we know that this isn't a physical shaking, right? Because how do you physically shake heaven? But it's a shaking of foundations in both heaven and earth, spiritually speaking, right? So that things that are false, things that are made up, things that are not true, those things will fall. They'll crumble because they don't have a sure foundation. But the things that are founded and based upon the Word of God, they will endure forever. So shake it all that you want, but those things will remain. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads, Father, as we come together once again in the evening time, Lord, this first day of the week, and Resurrection Sunday, Lord, we ask that your blessings would be upon your word, Lord, as it goes forth, that, Father, that you'd anoint our thinking once again to receive your word. And then, Father, as your word goes forth, may it discern our hearts, the thoughts and intents of our heart. If there are things that you're not pleased with, if there are things that we need to repent of, we'll surely do that, Lord, but we're relying on you to bring it to our conscience, to our remembrance. And so, Lord, would you do that as your word goes forth? We ask, and Father, we do it with joy, because we do it zealously, because Lord, it's a blessing for you to show us where we're in error, where we're wrong, where we need correction. Because if you didn't show it to us, we couldn't make it right. And it would hinder our walk with you. We know that as your children, it wouldn't change our relationship with you, but it would hinder our fellowship and our walk. And we don't want that, Lord. We want to walk with you. We don't want anything between you and us. And so we invite you, Lord, to discern our hearts tonight, Lord. As we approach the table tonight, we can do it boldly and confidently, Lord, and with great expectation that good things will come from it, Lord, because there's healing in the cup. Father, we love you and we thank you, and we just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, those that are present, those that are listening in, those that will listen in. And Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear his voice. I'm so glad that we can hear his voice, aren't you? So Paul, once again, he gives us a very grave and very solemn instruction, mainly that we take care that we do not refuse him that speaketh. And that word refuse, once again, it means to shun, avoid, reject, to excuse, of one excusing himself for not accepting a wedding invitation to a feast. That's read out of the commentaries. These things are just waiting, spiritual food in due season, for us to feast upon. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 reads like this. Once again, this is the message to our particular day. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. So that's the final word. That's the so be it. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And we know that God amens his own word when he brings it to pass. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So these words are, of course, very, very applicable to the day that you and I are living in, because we've heard from God in a very marvelous and very unique way, in a way that the church hasn't heard from God throughout the church ages except at the very beginning and then once again here at the end time, because he's spoken to us again, and he's the one who gives the amen to his own word to vindicate that it is his voice that we're hearing. So his spirit, his presence has been with the church throughout the church ages, of course. He's never left the church, but we know that the fullness of the word fell away from the church, and so there needed to be a restoration, and we know that we're living in the time of that restoration, and so we are a blessed people to have the fullness of the word, and not just the fullness of the word, but the power and the life to make that word live. So he is a faithful and true witness. How many can say amen to that? And we can rest in it when we know that it's his voice that we are hearing. I don't know about you, but you know, I was raised in church, and from the time that I was 6 years old, and I believed in God, and I wanted to live right. I wanted to please him. I wanted to go to heaven. But I knew that we didn't understand his word. I knew that most of it was a mystery to us. And I knew that I wasn't lying to myself. I knew I didn't have the power to live the kind of life that was spoken of in the Word. And so I knew something was missing. I didn't know exactly what, because the church wasn't teaching on it, but I knew that I was missing what it would take to overcome, what it would take to live a Christian life. What I was missing was Christ. But that's because they presented to me a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. So I had a desire to know God's word, to know the truth, and there were many times when I took God's word and would read it, and You know, for instance, I'd go to the book of, you know, one of the easy books, I'd go to the book of Revelations and I'd read it and I'd say, Lord, if this is written and this is your word and you wrote it to us, then I would think that you want us to know what it is that you're saying here, and I'm here to tell you, I don't know. I don't understand this. And so, Lord, would you speak to me? And of course, I believe with all my heart that God heard my prayer, but it was, probably 15 years later before he answered it. But he heard my prayer and remembered my prayer, but God has a way of doing things, and he's not going to, doesn't matter how sincere you are, he's not going to change his way for anybody, right? So I had to hear the voice. I had to hear the truth. I had to hear the message in order for the truth to come to me. God is, the Word of God is of no private interpretation, right? So even though the Word had come to a prophet and the prophet was, the Word was made known to this last age, God still had that channel, that way for that Word to come to me. It had to come through a living vessel. It had to come through someone. So in other words, God wasn't going to come and bring that to me in the same way that he brought it to the prophet, because he doesn't work that way, right? So it had to come through a living vessel. It had to, right? And it was another 15 years before I came in contact with it. But the desire was there. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. I wanted to know the truth. And if you're a son or daughter of God, there's something down in you. You want to know the truth. It's just, and you want to know that it's God that you're worshiping, that you are his and he is yours, and that his word applies to you. We're okay with it applying to other people, but does it apply to me? That's what we wanted to know, right? And the way that you know that is you hear his voice. So we can rest when we know that it is his voice that we're hearing, that we're not, you know, you go talk to the Baptist minister and he'll tell you some things, and some of it will ring true and some of it will sound confusing, and you'll go away from him and you'll talk to a very sincere Lutheran minister, and he'll tell you some things that are true, and then he'll tell you some other things that don't make sense to you. And after a while, after you go to enough people, you realize, how in the world can I sort this out? How in the world can I know what is his voice and what is the voice of the fine Lutheran minister or Baptist minister or whoever it was? How do I know what is his voice? Right? And that's, we don't want to be deceived. We want to follow him. We're not coming to church and we're not doing this to just pass the time, to be a club member or to be religious. We want to be right. Amen. So we can rest in it when we know that it is his voice that we're hearing. And we know that he hasn't come to bring us something that's outside of the pages of this Bible. So if you're hearing his voice, it's not, you're not going to be hearing, go to church on Saturday instead of Sunday. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, right? Those are doctrines of man. So he's not going to, Joseph Smith came to America and Jesus spent some time over here in America or all this other kind of nonsense that isn't in the Bible. It has to come from his word. So we know that the faith that Jude told us to earnestly contend for, we know that very faith has been restored back to the church just as the Lord said it would. And it's comforting for us to know that it's the very same faith that the early church started out with. And we were told ahead of time in the last book of the Old Testament that the Lord would send us a prophet in the spirit of Elijah to do this very thing to restore, to turn our hearts back to the original faith that was delivered to the apostolic fathers in the beginning. So he would turn our hearts back to that original faith. And the Lord also promised that the seventh church age messenger, which, you know, if you were in the denominations, you didn't even know what a church age messenger was. You had no idea what to do with those scriptures. But we were told that the seventh church age messenger that would come in the last days would reveal to us the mystery of God. And we are told that the seven unknown thunders would be revealed to us, which were in the Bible. It has to be in the Bible. So what was revealed to us is in the Bible, right? But it was sealed under the seven seals, and it was written in symbol form only. And since it was written in symbol form only, it would take a prophet, and it would take God revealing to the prophet what those symbols represent to open the eyes of our understanding, because that's God's provided way once again. So when the seals were pulled back, the revelation of what the symbols represent is made known to a people that are living under an eagle anointing, which we believe that we are here in these last days. And once your eyes of your understanding are open, you can see it all the way through the scriptures. And that's why the Bible becomes a brand new book to you, because you're reading it. It's as if you never read it before. Not that so-and-so begat so-and-so, and here's the names of the books and all that. Of course you've done that, and of course you're familiar with it. But the eyes of your understanding are open, and the Word, there are things that are just laying there in the Word all the way through that you never saw before. So it's as if you're reading it for the first time. It's a brand new book to you. In the Laodicean church age, Brother Branham said, "Now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things." Somebody say two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now he's speaking of the apostolic fathers, the faith that was once delivered in the beginning. Turn our hearts back to that original faith that produced the book of Acts. Number two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. So if the seven seals are open, then the revelation of the seven thunders has been made known, right? That was the purpose of the opening of the seven seals. And by the way, not six, but seven. Six is the number of man, seven is one of God's numbers, right? So it's completion. So he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. So it's the opening of that word that turns your heart literally back to the original faith, right? Because there is only one faith. So we can clearly see that the same one that fulfilled Malachi 4 is also the one that fulfilled Revelation 10:7. It's very plain to us. And if this seventh church age messenger turned your heart back to the same gospel that was delivered in the beginning, to the same fullness of the word that Paul preached, you know that he has turned your heart. You know that you're seeing the Bible in a way that you never saw it before. You know that you're seeing the truth, right? You know that you're not following cunningly devised fables. You know that you're not part of another denomination. You know that you're not hearing the words of man, but you're hearing the words of the Lord. And you know this because you believe what he turned us back to is the original word that the Alpha Seed Church was rooted in. You know that you're believing the very same thing that the first church believed. And if we're believing the very same thing, it will produce the very same works. It'll come with the very same life. It will match. That's why we can call it the Alpha and the Omega, because those two, the beginning, the first and the last, those two are the same in action and word and so forth. So he not only preached the full word, but God then came and vindicated it to be the truth, and he punctuated it with an amen time and time and time again. There shouldn't be a question. In fact, there isn't a question in my mind, but there shouldn't be a question in any of our minds, right? I mean, if you're looking for proof, you won't find anything that's proven more than this. It's God did it on purpose. He did it that way so that you just can't miss it. So we could just spend weeks and weeks. We could go through and read the many recorded testimonies of the ministers that were influenced and that were inspired by the ministry of Malachi 4. Remember, the ministry that he was entrusted with, it spearheaded a movement that didn't exist, right? He was the first out there on the scene, and the things that were taking place in his ministry hadn't been taking place in anybody else's ministry. And others were seeing this, and they were getting inspired, and they were crying out for it. They wanted to, the things that were being done in this one that was spearheading the movement, they wanted those very same things to take place in their ministries. And some were very sincere in what they were looking for. But one thing's for sure, his ministry was like no other in magnitude and in vindication. There was no other. He had no compatriots. He had no peers. There was nobody else that had that kind of a ministry. And it didn't take place in just some dark corner of the world, but it went around and around and around the world. It was done in king's palaces. It was done in Washington, D.C. It was done in small rooms. It was done all over the world. When the angel of the Lord that visited Brother Branham gave to him this commission that came from the throne of God, he told the angel that, I have poor grammar, I only have a seventh grade education, these people aren't going to listen to me, I have no Bible training, why would anybody listen to me, right? But he was ordained from his mother's womb to fulfill the prophecy that was written concerning him. And the prophecy is written in God's word concerning him. And he was told, as Moses was given two signs, so would he be given two signs. The first would be a gift of healing. And he was told, you know, if you can get the people to believe you, to have faith in the word that you speak to them, nothing will stand before your prayers, not even cancer. And we know that there was a physical manifestation that went along with that. There was a pattern of bumps that would appear on the back of his hand, depending on the pattern, it would indicate to him what kind of a spirit it was, or whether there was a spirit there that was causing the illness or the sickness, right? And when the spirit would depart, then those bumps would depart from his hand, right? And so that came along with that divine healing gift that was in his life. And then he was told, if they don't believe the first sign, well, then they'll hear the voice of the second sign, right? So there's a voice that would come. It's not just a sign, but there would be a voice that would come with the sign. And the second sign was the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I was new and coming into this message and I'm studying it and I'm trying to understand things, I'm trying to understand so much because there was so much that we weren't taught in the Baptist church, especially concerning the nine spiritual gifts and the fivefold ministry and so on and so forth. So one of the nine spiritual gifts is the gift of spiritual discernment, right? But My elders, when I came into this and I came onto the scene, they said, Brother Branham's the only one that had discernment, right? And what they were speaking of course, was that second sign, that gift, the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? And they called that discernment. That's not discernment. And that confused me for a little while because they were saying, you know, there's only one that had that gift of discernment, and that was Brother Branham. No, that wasn't discernment. That was the Lord himself discerning. That was the Lord himself searching. That was what Paul said, the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That was the Word coming and seeing inside of your heart and telling you what was there, telling you about your past, telling you about your present or the future, whatever. That is not the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is discerning spirits, right? And every Holy Ghost-filled believer has an element. You know, there's a gift of faith, but every Holy Ghost-filled believer has faith, right? So, but some will get maybe an extra dose of it. So true discernment as part of the nine spiritual gifts, that's, you know, well, you got a spirit of lust on you, or that's a homosexual spirit, or you got this evil spirit or that evil spirit, right? It's being able to discern an evil spirit from a good spirit and you know, knowing what its name is and identifying it. Every Holy Ghost-filled believer has an element of that discernment. And Brother Branham said, you'll hear something and it just doesn't sound right. Right? That's because it isn't right. And there's an evil spirit that comes with things that are false, right? And you're picking that up. Now, Brother Brown put it this way. He said, you may not be able to tell exactly what's wrong, but you know that, that don't ring a bell. Brother Brown said, that was given to you to protect your life. And we all have, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, we all have an element of that. So you're, and we all, even in the natural, we're spiritual beings, and we can, you know, when somebody's got a bad spirit on them, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to pick that up, right? You sense it, right? So I'm belaboring this on purpose because I want you to know the difference between the sign of the Messiah and that spiritual gift called discernment. Those are two different things. Okay? So this second sign was not one of the nine spiritual gifts, right? This second sign was a sign that only the Messiah can do, right? No man knows his own heart. But the Messiah can discern the thoughts. The Word can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this is the sign of the Messiah because only the Word can discern the heart. But the second sign was also to be identified with a voice. Now, friends, there'd really be no point in God sending a deliverance message to the church in this last day and then following through with nothing more. You know, if there was nothing to come after that, what would be the point of it? The purpose of the signs was to attract the attention of his children so that he could draw his children to himself and speak to them, right? He wants to speak to you. So he puts signs out there to attract your attention, right? Just as you put bait on a fish hook and you throw that fish hook out in the water, you put the bait on there because you're trying to attract the attention of the fish. And so the fish is never going to bite that hook if it doesn't know that it's there, right? So you put something on there to try to attract the attention of the fish. So God does things to try to attract the attention of his children. It was so that the children could ultimately hear his voice. The sign wasn't the point, but the sign was to get your attention so that what followed that would be a voice. So for God to send a healing revival and then stop right there, that would really make no sense. Right. Now, all those that are healed will die eventually.
Right.
And there were many, many, many that were healed in Brother Branham's, in that healing revival.
Right.
Right? That never went any further.
Right.
Other men were inspired by what they saw, and they began following in his footsteps, preaching divine healing and preaching deliverance, which, you know, we're not talking down about these things. Those things are part of the word. Those things should be, you know, they're in the gospels. They're in the word, Old Testament and New Testament. But what we saw was that many established ministries for themselves and never took the people further than the first sign, which was divine healing. Others may not have had, one of the prophetic gifts, one of the prophetic gifts of the Spirit. Maybe they operated a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or prophecy. Some had gifts of prophecy. But the ministry of this, and I don't say this, you know, it's just the truth. Brother Branham was short in stature. He wasn't a big man, 135 pounds, I think he said at one point in time. And he was uneducated. He was from the backwoods of Kentucky. And when he came on the scene and when God started using him, he shook the ranks of Christendom and shook the world, frankly. Shook the kingdom of hell, right? Shook our denominational thinking. Just challenged doctrine to the core, right? Challenged Christianity to the very core. So the second gift was not one of the nine spiritual gifts, but it was a sign that was given to us. So the second sign that was given was none other than the Messiah himself, the living word, the theophanic Christ, if you will, of Revelation chapter 10, the angel of his own covenant. It is Christ himself appearing to us, right? And revealing that it's Christ himself that's amongst us. We haven't seen that in 2,000 years. So Brother Branham would learn to yield himself to Christ to get himself out of the way. And then the Messiah, Christ, would discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, just as the Lord did when he visited Abraham and Sarah and said, why did Sarah, I've got my back turned to her, why did Sarah in the tent laugh in her heart? And of the thousands of visions that Brother Branham saw, not one of them ever failed. And there's no other ministry that's comparable to that one in this age. Just not even close. And I've looked, and I trust that you probably have too. But there's nothing that comes even close to it. In fact, when I first heard it, it just sounded too good to be true. It's like, well, where's this been all my life? And why haven't we seen anything like that anywhere, right? So it really did catch my attention. And the scriptures foretold this coming in our day. That's, you know, people that doubt this and want to, you know, disbelieve the sign and want to argue and fuss about it. As we said this morning, don't argue and fuss with them. But you know, it is worth asking if this isn't, and I've asked people this before, if this one that was sent, I'm claiming that he was sent, if he's not the one, then who is? Because the Lord can't come except one first forerun. Someone come with the spirit of Elijah, right? and we'll churn the hearts. And it, so if this isn't the one, then who out there is that one? And of course, they can't give you that answer. You know, another fair question to ask is, whose voice are you listening to? Right? Because we're all listening to a voice, all of us. So the scriptures foretold his coming in our day so that our hearts would be turned back and we would escape the wrath that is soon to be poured out on this wicked and adulterous generation. And this work was so absolutely important that God could only send one man. And it is God's scriptural pattern to operate in this manner before every major global event in the history of man since the fall. God never does anything except he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. We know that the apostle Paul, for instance, was responsible for laying the foundation for the gospel that would go to the Gentiles for 2,000 years. He said he laid that foundation, and he said, you know, be careful who builds and what you build upon this. And he said, you know, if anybody thinks they're spiritual, let them acknowledge first that what I said is the words of life. And if an angel from heaven comes and brings something different than what I brought, Paul said, let him be accursed. So God used one man. And, you know, it's amazing the Christian world seems to be okay with that, God sending one man to establish that. But you talk about one man being used in the end time to turn our hearts back. Oh, wait a minute. You know, why just one person? Well, because if there were two people, there'd be two opinions. God always does it this way. It's one voice. And we're told by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. God did not send his word back to the church and then sit back to see how it would work out. He's not a granite and impersonal God. The first purpose for sending the messenger to us was to draw us to Christ, to show us who the true Christ of the Bible is, to draw us to Christ the Word, introduce us to Christ the Word, to pull us out of darkness, the darkness of this age, and to bring us into his glorious light. Remember, it's God's own children that are being called out and are being gathered unto him for his namesake. And this is how he chose to do it, and this is his pattern. And we can rest in it, and we can be comforted in it, because God has always done it this way, and he's not going to change his pattern here in the end time. Now, regarding the second purpose, the ministry of Revelation 10:7, that has also been absolutely fulfilled. We're not waiting for a future fulfillment. It's already been fulfilled. There's really nobody else on the scene, nor has there been anyone else on the scene that claims to have been the fulfillment of this, other than a few crackpots. And it doesn't take much investigation to see that those that claim to fulfill, you know, there was Alexander Dowie, I think, that was at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s. He set up a place in Illinois, Zion, I think was the name of the town that, or the city that was founded there. And he was claiming to have the spirit of Elijah. And there's, you know, so there's been a few that have been rumored to be fulfilling that. But you look at it, and they didn't even come close to fulfilling what the scripture says that the one with the spirit of Elijah would do. But of course, there has to be a Jannes and a Jambres, as there was in the days of Moses, to raise up and, you know, refute the prophet and try to draw people unto themselves. That has to happen. And that pattern is also well established in the Word. But God has children. God has sons and daughters. And He said he would unite with them in this last age as the head joins together with the body. But to do this, he had to first wake up his children and quicken them to life through the word by the Spirit. And he had to restore to them the original faith that was once delivered to the saints. So people say, well, why do we even need the message? Because we didn't have the truth. We needed to be restored back to that original faith. And everybody said, it's this, it's that, it's the other. But what is the truth? So God not only restored the truth back to us, but he proved to us that it is the truth. So he had to restore to them the original faith that was once delivered to the saints. And he had to make himself known to each and every one of his children, knocking on the door of the heart and promising to come in and personally sup with you and you with him. But to do this, we had to hear the very same gospel that Jesus said would be preached in power and in demonstration. You see, there were sons and daughters who were calling out for this supernatural and who somehow knew that the word that was being presented to them by the organizations had no life and no vindication to it. We were confused. We were disillusioned. We were hungry. We were thirsty for the living waters. We were thirsting for, you know, I don't want a painting of a book of Acts. I want a book of Acts. So as the children of Israel cried out for their deliverer, so did we cry out unto the Lord. And there were many that were crying out in the 1900s that were crying out to the Lord. And he sent unto us Malachi 4, Revelation 10:7, just as he promised that he would. Luke 17:30. Friends, we don't serve an impersonal God. A God that's just sitting back, you know, after atoning for us, then he just went and sat back and became a passive God. No, he's very active. He's been with his church all the way through. He's been involved. But the work is so important here in the very end that the Lord himself had to descend to finish this work. And he is a faithful and true witness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And he wants you to know tonight, I haven't forgotten about you. I haven't forgotten my covenant that I made with you. No matter what the organizations have to say. I haven't forgotten about you personally. I haven't forgotten about your loved ones. I haven't forgotten about those that went to the grave before you. I'm mindful of them. I'm mindful of my promise concerning them. I'm mindful of my promise concerning you. I care about your health. I care about your welfare. I care about your situation. I care about your feelings. I care about your well-being. I care about your health. I care about your peace. I care about your destination. I know the suffering that you have endured for the Son of Man's sake. I'm mindful of that. I know that you have forsaken all. I know that you've given up so much to follow me. But in the end, you're going to say, it's worth it. It's more than worth it. I hear your prayers, and I am a God that heals all your diseases. I am mighty in battle. I am mighty in delivering. And I want you to know tonight, I'm faithful. I want you to know that I care. I want you to know that I will reveal myself to you in a very personal way. You will know me personally. I remember my promise. And I'm sending you a sign. And I'm sending you a message. And I'm coming for you soon. And I want you to be ready when I come. We're told that it would be so dark in the last days that you wouldn't be able to see your hand in front of your face. That's where we're at. He says, but don't worry, little children. There's a man present that can turn on the light. And it is the man, Christ Jesus. And he wants you to know that he's present. Amen. And he wants you to know that the living God in a very personal way. He wants you to hear his voice. Hallelujah. I've got one long quote that I'm going to finish up with tonight, but please bear with me. But I just feel impressed to bring this because I went through this morning and I told you it's vindicated. I told you the word came forth and then he proved it. He's still proving it. And we talked about all the ways that he's still proving it. But I want to give you tonight just one example, and it's packed, friends. Just one example of one prayer line that will, it ought to just convince you that, that this is the truth because it's vindicated. Jehovah Jireh, 1957. So he's moved into that second sign, and there's a voice that comes with that sign. Jehovah Jireh, he says at paragraph 70, he says, "All right, only believe. All things are possible. Let's watch coming from heaven now. Down through the corridors comes the Lord Jesus. I've spoke for him. I closed the book. It's his time to speak." It's his time to speak. "I've spoke. I closed the book. Now it's his time." What a challenge. What confidence. "I closed the book. It's his time to speak. If he vindicates what I say is the truth, you disbelieve it. You're a sinner. Remember, go and what no more? What is sin? It's unbelief. Go and disbelieve no more, or worse things will come upon you. So don't disbelieve. Only believe. For the sake of time, let's hurry and let's get the people coming. The lady standing here is a stranger to me as far as I know. We're strangers to each other. I do not know her, but I'm glad it's a woman to be the first tonight. I'd like to give a little Bible picture. You're not playing church, friends. It's church. God's mercy. We're at the end of the road. This is the signs of the last day. Now, may the God of heaven help us tonight so that you'll be without an excuse at the day of judgment. And God knows that this is only done if he will. I have no way of saying he will, but if he will, react his life again tonight, right here, so you'll be without an excuse, and you who love him will rejoice and be happy because your religion is right and your Christ has raised from the dead. The Lord bless. So he's saying, I don't know if he's going to or not, but if I preach the truth and he comes on the scene, he comes on the scene, he comes on the scene, he speaks, you love him, you'll believe. And there won't be a question. He says, "Now, lady, ever who's at the microphone, if you step it up, the engineer," so he's speaking to the sound booth, he says, "if you step it up, the engineer just a little, you know, step up the volume a little bit." He says, "Because if the anointing which is now striking me," so he knows he's here, "the anointing that is now striking me," he says, "I don't know how long, how loud I talk because it's another world." So he surrenders that anointing that's coming upon him, begins to operate, begins to, and a voice begins to speak through him. And he says, "You know, I've got it in neutral. I'm out of the picture. I'm the vessel that he's going to speak through," right? He says, "I don't know how long or how loud I talk because it's another world. Now, if I said, 'Woman, you're sick,' well, that might be right. That would be guessing. And 'You're going to be healed.' Well, you just have to guess at that. That's something that I tell you, that's something that I tell you will be, which you have no way of knowing. But what if he tells something that's already happened? Then you know whether that's the truth or not. Now, when the Lord Jesus came to a person, 'Do you believe, lady, that he is raised from the dead?' And you believe that he is just the same in every attitude and everything that he always has been. And if he tonight, you're standing there with something that you've come here for. And, you know, I don't know, But if he will reveal to me what you've come for, just the same as he told that woman where her trouble was, if he will tell me where your trouble is, you'll know whether it's truth or not. And if he will do that, would you accept and believe then? And knowing that your brother has no way of knowing these things, he say, I have no way of knowing it. Well, you know it would have to be a supernatural. So it'll be your attitude, what you judge it to be. He says, now it's in your hands. But if he speaks, you'll know that it isn't me. But then you've got to decide, is that him or not? So in other words, his voice is going to speak to her. He says, you're aware that something's going on because between me and the lady, there's a light that's moving back and forth. It's because I keep talking. That's the reason that it doesn't settle on her. But I've never seen the woman. I don't know her. Something happened. I don't know just what it was. I don't think it was the angel because it was a light. But if somebody snapped a camera, don't do it. He says, see, this angel is a light. And I'm trying to watch it. And it jerked me from the vision then. You see, don't do that. I know you didn't mean to, see, but you can take pictures before this. But now, it's gone from the woman. See, I was talking with her, and she was moving from me. And then a light flashed, and I thought the angel had went into the audience, and I looked back, and it was a bulb. So please now, be reverent. So this is a real supernatural situation, and the people aren't even aware of it, and they're just doing carnal, natural things. And he's telling them, look, please, you know, there's don't interfere. You don't even know what's going on right now. Let me try to explain it to you, right? He says, now he tries to contact this woman again. He says, let's talk again. What am I doing? I'm trying to do the same thing that Jesus did when he talked to the woman at the well. That's why he said, I'm glad that this first one is a woman. He says, now, if you'll believe, you yourself are the one that controls it, not me. That's powerful, isn't it? You yourself are the one that controls it. It's not me. I'm just trying to get you to center your thought on Christ. And if God will do this, all of you will believe. Will you do it with all your heart? May he grant it. I can see the lady coming from somewhere else. So now he's in a vision. I can see the lady coming from somewhere else. She's not from this city. She's from out of town. And she's talking about something. And that's about, it's a growth. And that growth is in the breast. That's the truth. And you're afraid that it's cancer. You prayed that God would let you get in this line today. And by the way, your husband has something to do. He's a preacher. That's right. And your name is something like B-R-E-N-N-E-N, Brennan or something like that. That's right. Now, do you believe? Do you accept him with all your heart? Now, come here, he says, our Heavenly Father, in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, knowing that this woman is shadowed for death, I pray that you'll grant tonight that this old evil thing that's bothering her, oh, thou devil, you're defeated. You're exposed. Come out of the woman. I adjure thee by the living God that you depart from her. Friends, you better know what you're talking about when you say things like that. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go and don't doubt. It's free from you now. Don't doubt. Another one comes up. He says, how do you do? Well, you and I are strangers too, I suppose, to each other. I don't know you, but someone here who knows you, and he's the Lord Jesus. I am his servant. I perceive that you are a Christian. You're a Christian because your spirit, the Holy Spirit here, seems to be walking as my brother. You're a Christian, and you come to me for something, for help. And if I could do it, I would. But I'm just your brother, a gift of God to you, and I just yield myself, and the Holy Spirit might be able to help you. If you believe, I see that you're
really extremely nervous.
You're upset about something. I tell you, it's a spiritual condition. You want to lift from God, or you want to lift from God. That's right, brother. And there's something else that you might know. You got trouble with your feet, and that's athletic feet. So I don't know if that's what athlete's foot, you know, it's a fungus that grows on your feet, and you can get a pretty bad case from it, I guess. And he says, you got trouble with your feet, that's athletic feet, that's right. And you're a preacher, that's right. That's thus saith the Spirit. Now, do you believe? Come here. Dear God and Father, I bless this man in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ask that you will make him well. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, brother. Little lady sitting there with your hand up like this in the second row. Right back there. You're praying for a spiritual uplift too. Isn't that right? It's a spiritual condition. You're aware that something is going on there, aren't you? Looks like the audience, you can see that. Can't you see that light? That wow. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Can't you see that light come, an emerald color that's hanging right over that lady? I wonder how many people could see it, if any. Can't you see that light? So obvious to him. Can't you see that light come, an emerald color that's hanging right over that lady? There it is. She's praying that God will help her and give her spiritual help, for she's seeking such from God. That's true. Just believe. Raise up your hand, lady, to God, way up high. Will you take that same hand? Will you take that same hand and lay it on the lady next to you? Who has arthritis? Prophet didn't have to touch you. You just have to believe. Lay it on that lady that's next to you that has arthritis and wants to be healed. It's over, sister. That you might know the lady sitting next to her. Do you believe, lady? You're praying for a little boy. Yes. Raise up just a minute. There's a boy sitting here looking this way, praying too, and his spirit is coming in. The lady with the little white hat on, yes, I want to see you. Stand up. Look this way just a moment. Do you believe me to be his prophet? If God will reveal to me what you are praying for, will you accept it? Well, his stomach trouble will end then. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus can make it well and will do things that you have asked for? If you believe it with all your heart, raise up your hand. With all your heart, you believe it. Now, friends, what's taking place there can take place here tonight. The key is to believe. If you'll believe it with all your heart, raise your hand. With all your heart, you believe it. Now, bow your head. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that in Christ's name, that you will give her the deep desire of her heart as we condemn the devil in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Now, have faith. Nothing complicated. Just take God at his word. He says, you lady, do you believe with all your heart? I'm a stranger to you. It's just from everywhere. Now, be real reverent and everyone in prayer just a moment. You're all human. You all got spirits. And everyone's just pressing now, see? And visions are just coming from every way. It's hard to hold them. I want to talk to you, lady, just a moment. Look at me. Look on me. I mean that like the scripture Peter and John that passed through the gate called Beautiful and they said, look on us. That don't mean to look to them, just give attention. You got trouble with your legs. That's right. Now, being that I've got your spirit, being that I have your spirit under control of the Holy Spirit, there's something else on your heart that didn't satisfy you. I see some kind of it's a water, like big waves that are rolling. It's the sea. You're interested in something. It's It's somebody that's overseas, and that is a son, and that son is in Italy, and that son has stomach trouble and is supposed to be operated on right away. And the boy is a sinner, and you want prayer for his soul. Thus saith the Lord. You believe? Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of thy beloved child, the Lord Jesus, laying hands upon the woman, I ask that she receive that what she asked for in Christ's name. Amen. He says, go. Don't doubt him, lady. It's light around you now where it was dark. You can receive what you've asked for. Do you believe? Have faith in God. Don't doubt. Amen. Tell me where else this happened. He said, I can if he believe. All right. Young fella, do you believe God? You believe Jesus Christ is God's son? He raised him from the dead. Do you believe the work that you now see going on? You believe it comes from God? You believe me to be his servant? You believe the word that I preached is the truth? Then I can help you if you believe that, for he promised it. You're suffering with a nervous condition. You've had it since a little boy. Since you was a kiddie in school, you got real scared one time somewhere. It was a dog or something that crossed your path. That's been many years ago, that's right. Reading your book in school, and you held them close to you because you're nearsighted, and you read too close to you. You should push it away. It's been pushed back by your teacher. That's years ago. And you got someone here in the building that you're interested in. It's your mother. You believe that God will tell me what is wrong with her? Would you accept it? She's got asthma trouble. Is that right? It's right. Do you believe me to be his prophet now? You're praying for your wife also, aren't you, son? You believe God will tell me what's wrong with her? She's got something wrong with her fingers. They get yellow and they swell up on the ends and the fingernails drop off. That's right, isn't it? Now, do you believe? Well, then go and receive as you have believed. So be it unto you in Christ's name. How do you do? You believe with all your heart? I don't know you, lady. You're aware of that, but God knows you. He knows all about you. You're standing for someone else. That's your daughter. She has horrible female trouble. I see her going into the hospital and coming back out, but I hear a doctor say that she has to be operated again. That's right. You don't believe that? You accept Christ now for the healer? Come as you stand for her. O Christ of God, I condemn the devil and ask that this woman receive her blessing that she asked for in Christ's name. Amen. Have faith in God. How do you do, sir? I don't know you, but there's somebody that does know you, and that's God. Up in the balcony in the middle row, sitting back there, sir, with that stomach trouble, you believe God will heal you, make you well? The man with the white shirt on, kind of a blue-looking tie, gray-headed, sitting there with stomach trouble, praying, got acidity of the stomach, ulcerated. Raise your hand, sir. Raise your hand up, sir. There you are. You're healed. Jesus Christ makes you well. Do you believe? Have faith in God. How could you make these statements? How could you say these things if they're not true? You'd be exposed in one night. Been working hard, haven't you? You got a poisoning from it. A cement poisoning. Mr. G.H. Whitner. Return home. It's going to leave you, sir. Your faith has made you whole. Amen. God bless you, brother. You believe, lady? You touched him, little lady with the red dress on. You're praying, wasn't you? Sister, yes. Now, there he is. He's standing by you. You're suffering with a lady's trouble, a female trouble. That's right. Say, by the way, you're a minister, a woman preacher. You're not from this city. You're from Alabama. By the way, you got a sister that you're praying for. She's not here, but she's there, and she's got epilepsy. I see her fall with the Spirit. That's the truth. Have faith, lady, and believe God, and you can have what you ask for. This has to do with what you believe. He says, you believe? If thou canst believe, all things are possible. You're from out of town too, but do you believe? You're scared, aren't you? You're to be a mother. And the reason that you're scared, you got a rupture. And you're afraid of this baby, whether it'll be all right or not. Only if you won't doubt, Mrs. Hoffman Huffler, then you can believe, healed. Do you believe it? How does he know your name and know who you are? Do you believe it with all your heart? All right, Mrs. Huffler, you can go home and bring forth the baby in peace. God Almighty, I bless the woman in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Simple. You believe God will heal that blood condition, take that diabetes away from you and make you well? Do you believe with all your heart? Well, then go on your road, believe with all your heart, and be made well. Friends, this is just exactly the New Testament. This is what took place in the Gospels. But Jesus Christ is using another body. And Brother Branham is not Jesus Christ. And there are times when he says things that he has to repent of. But there are times when you're hearing the voice of God. He says, you're young to have arthritis and things, but God can heal you. You believe that with all your heart? Well, then go and believe with all your heart. Be made well. Come here. I want to lay my hands on you as you pass by. Jesus of Nazareth, heal the woman, I pray. Amen. Have faith in God. Your disease kills hundreds, but God can heal you of heart trouble and make you well. You believe that? There's many out there suffering with the very same thing. There, from the front row. No, it's not you. You're standing for a friend. They live in Georgia. Got heart trouble. If you believe with all your heart, you can be healed too. The man with the red shirt on that's looking at me, you aren't praying. You are praying, aren't you, sir? You want to be healed, don't you? You're a preacher of the gospel, and you suffer with a nervous trouble. And you were just praying to God, God, let him speak to me. See how Brother Bram said you're operating the gift? That's true with any gift, friends. You're the one that operates it. You're the one that benefits from it. The gift isn't for the person, it's for you. God, let him speak to me. If that's right, raise up your hand. Reverend, you have received your healing. Go in peace. Likewise, you, sister, don't doubt nothing, but believe with all your heart. You need some blood. You're anemic. Your blood's passing before me is thin. But do you believe that you and I can go to Calvary and get a blood transfusion by the Lord Jesus? Heavenly Father, I pray thee that thou will heal the woman. Hear his voice. Amen. We serve that same God tonight. Now, friends, he had to do it through one man first to prove that it was him. He had to preach the word, and then the author of that word had to come and confirm that it was him, that it's his word. Because we had all these millions, thousands of different Jesuses. But the true Jesus of the Bible came on the scene and vindicated. Nobody else can do this. I mean, this is a gift that cannot be imitated. Nobody has. There were other people that, out there that were false. It wasn't a gift that they had. Maybe they had some inside information and they were, you know, calling out some things, but those things didn't last. Those things didn't take place all over the world. Those things didn't go without scrutiny and criticism, right? But there's no proof at all that this ever failed. Amen? Thousands and thousands and thousands of times. So you just have to want to doubt, right? We hear his voice. I'm so thankful. you know, I'll just say this in closing and we'll change the order of the service, but there was a time many, many years ago where I felt sorry for myself because I thought, man, why couldn't I have been born a little earlier? Why couldn't I have been older? Why couldn't I have been in those meetings? Why did I miss that, you know? But the Lord has more than shown to me and proven to me that He didn't leave us out of nothing, right? We're actually living in a greater time, if you can receive it. More blessed is he that believes and has not seen, and yet you believe, right? But it's not just about, okay, I didn't see that and I believe, but because I believe, I'm seeing him still do the very same things, right? I'm not seeing him discern the thoughts and, well, actually I am. I am seeing him discern the thoughts and intents of the heart because the word goes forth and the word speaks to you. Amen. And the word discerns your heart and you know the preacher didn't know. You know the preacher doesn't know. You know that God is speaking to you and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? So he's still here. He's still doing the work. Amen. And we are so blessed because this is without question. It should be for each and every one of us. And the key here tonight, friends, over and over, and I just can't overemphasize this. I can't say it enough. The key here is to only, right? So we have to eliminate every doubt. We have to push out every doubt. We have to be willing to believe, right? And if you can believe, He was told, if you can get the people to believe you, nothing will stand before your prayers. Well, there's no difference now. If you can get the people to believe Him, nothing will stand before your prayers. It's the same principle. Amen. You're the one that's grabbing the hem of His garment. You're the one that's, your faith is touching Him. And He's here. And He's here every time that we come together. And there will be people forever that will sit in meetings where He's here and not know that He's here. Amen. But if you're a son or daughter of God, if you're a child of God, there's something in you that will be drawn. There's something in you that will desire that. There's something in you that will want to contact that. And then it's up to you. Right? It's up to you whether or not it's what do you believe? What do you desire? What are you looking for? What are you asking for? If I were to ask, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but I'm convinced tonight, for sure, because I've talked to so many of you over the years. If I were to ask tonight, how many of you know that He spoke to you? When we've come together to hear the Word, you know without a shadow of a doubt. So many of you have said over, not just from our ministry, but from other ministries as well. So many of you have said, you know, it's like you were in our car, right? We were just talking about that today or whatever, right? I don't have anything to do with it, right? It's Him that's speaking to you. And when you realize that you're hearing His voice, it's you and Him, and it's personal. He cares tonight, friends. We are not here outnumbered. We are not here lacking in anything. The devil doesn't have the upper hand. Amen? We're on the winning side. We are the overcomers, the end time overcomers. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just more on our side tonight, but there's much more on our side. I almost feel sorry for the devil. Almost. But he's given me enough of a hard time. He deserves whatever's coming his way. Amen. But it isn't fair. It's not fair. It's not a fair fight. The devil doesn't have a chance. And his angels, his fallen angels, don't have a chance either. Amen. Let's stand. We have young ones amongst us that are, you know, we don't know when that time comes, when you come to that particular age where God is speaking to you and you're hearing from God in a way perhaps that you hadn't before. So we don't know. We're just being obedient to preach what the Lord put on our hearts. You know, so in other words, you could be sitting there tonight thinking, come on, we've heard this before. You know, I believe it. Why is this being preached? Well, you're not going by yourself. Right? Every one of us has to come through the same way. And every one of us has to be convinced. I don't want anybody to miss his voice. And I don't know when it is that somebody's going to hear his voice. Right? I just know that he wants you to hear his voice. And I know that if you're one of his children, you're going to hear his voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we thank you so much that we have your sure word. And Lord, that we can know that we know that we know that we are hearing your voice. And we're convinced of that. We're staking our lives on it. Lord, we're entrusting our souls. Our eternal destination is entrusted in the fact that we believe that we are hearing from you, and not that we heard from you, but we are hearing from you. There's maybe the first time that we come to the realization that we're hearing from you, but then there's that daily walk where we know that it's your voice and we're walking with you, and we can tell as we get more experience, as we grow, the more we walk, as we learn of you, as we're yoked with you and we learn your ways, and it just becomes easier and easier and easier to know your voice and to be able to distinguish your voice from all the other voices that are out there. And Lord, we seek your voice each and every day. We seek your voice in prayer. We seek your voice as we read your word, as we hear your word, as we fellowship with you. And then, Lord, when we come together to fellowship as a body, we're looking for you. We're wanting to hear from you. And Lord, I for one can say tonight, I'm not a bit disappointed. Lord, you don't disappoint. In fact, you exceed my expectations. Lord, the life that you've given me, if there's nothing more to this, if this is the end of it, this life and that's the end of it, it's still, Lord, it's worth it to this walk that I have with you, this life, and knowing that I'm hearing your voice, knowing that you're in control, knowing that you're leading and guiding, and knowing that I can trust you and I can have confidence in you, and that I know when it's your word, and I know when the enemy is trying to inject something in there, there's such a peace and there's such a rest that comes with that, Lord. We know the world's in a turmoil, the world's in a dark, under a dark cloud. We know that it's pitch black as far as the in the spiritual realm, and the kingdom of darkness is completely dark. We know that the moon is reflecting the light of the sun, and we know that it's a complete blackout here at the end time. We know that there's no light in the church organizations. We know that light went out a while ago. We know that they put you out, that you were trying to get back in with the very life that you brought to the church 2,000 years ago, but they put you outside the door. But and they're okay with that. That they've put you out. You're not amongst them, and they don't even know it. But Lord, we certainly would know it if you were to depart. If the rapture were to take place, and somehow we were to be left out of the rapture, we'd sure know that it took place, because your spirit would be taken from this earth, and we would know it if your spirit was gone, because we'd no longer hear your voice. We would no longer be walking with you and you with us, and wouldn't feel your presence, and our prayers wouldn't be answered, and just so much would be different, so much would change. And so, Lord, we're not wanting to go in the rapture because we're fearing the time of trouble. Certainly we wouldn't want to go through that time of trouble, but we're wanting to go in the rapture because where you go, that's where we want to go. If you're not here, we don't want to be here either. Father, I pray that you would just continue to minister to hearts. Lord, we never know when someone has something that light's going to turn on and spark is going to ignite, but we trust, Lord, that you're faithful. You're a faithful and true witness. And you know your own, and you'll not lose a single one. Our job, Lord, is to be faithful and to preach the word in season, out of season, in due season, to be instant, to bring the full counsel of the Lord, to bring the full word. And Lord, we'll, by your grace, we want to be faithful to that calling. And each one of us, we want to be patient and long-suffering. Lord, knowing that each and every one of us has to come the same way. And so, Lord, if we're just waiting on one person, so be it. It's more than worth it for us to be patient and allow you to speak to that one person. But Lord, it's not as if hearing these things it becomes something that's burdensome or heavy or not interesting. Lord, we can't hear it enough. You can tell us the old story over and over again, and we'll get something else out of it each time, and we'll feast on it, and we'll be blessed by it. And so, Lord, I just pray that your blessings be upon each and every one. And now, Lord, as we stand here tonight, Lord, as we are ready to approach the table to partake of what is called the Lord's Supper, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us of our failures, Lord. I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, that we, if there's anything that comes to mind, that we would just make it right and surrender it to you, Lord, and then be able to come with confidence, Lord, and to not hold back, not to stay away from it, but Lord, let there be a showdown. If there's something that we need to make right and we're struggling with it, help us, Lord, to press through that. And we know that when we get to the other side of making right whatever we have to, we'll shake our head and wonder, well, why was I afraid to do that? Or why was I holding back on that? It's just our enemy that's trying to work on us at times, Lord. But we want to be able to say all is well between you and us all the time, Lord. So we just pray that you move upon each and every heart. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the bread once again and the hands that prepared it, Lord. And Father, as we partake of this symbol, as a symbol of your body that was given for us, Lord, a symbol of the bread of life that we're partaking of, and then, Lord, also the wine, may you bless that to the goodness of our bodies, as well as the bread to the goodness of our bodies. And Lord, as we partake of that symbol also, recognizing that it symbolizes the life that then comes into the life that was in that blood cell that then comes back in to the heart of the believer. We believe, Lord, that we're partaking, spiritually speaking, of your flesh and drinking your blood, spiritually speaking, not literally. We're partaking of you, Lord. We're partaking of our sacrifice, and we're becoming one with our sacrifice, and we're being atoned, or our sins are being atoned for. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless these things here tonight, Lord. And Father, as we just maybe have a moment of silence, Lord, as we pray for the body, as the body prays for us, Lord, we We just want to tarry for one another here for just a few moments. And before we come to the table, and we just ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one, that there not be anything between us and you. And we know that if there's anything between us and somebody in the body, then there's definitely something between us and you. Because we can't claim to be on perfect terms with you if our horizontal relationships are not right, then the vertical relationship can't, by definition, can't be right, because Lord, that would trouble your spirit. So Father, as we just surrender to you here for a few moments, Lord, we just want to pray one for another. Once again, for this opportunity to be obedient, to honor your death and your resurrection, Lord, and Lord, to partake of these symbols once again. You told us to do it often in remembrance of you until you come. So, Lord, we're thankful that we can do that here tonight. And we just ask that each and every one would be blessed, Lord, and that it would just bring your body that much closer together, Lord. We know that your love is the greatest power in the universe. There's nothing greater than that. And Lord, we just pray that every evil spirit would be squeezed out, Lord, that every bit of difference would be squeezed out, Lord, and Father, that you would have the preeminence in this local body. We want you to, our desire is that you would have preeminence in the universal body, the mystical body that's here on the earth in this hour. But Lord, may it begin or may it take place in each and every local body. And Lord, we're praying in particular for this portion of your body, Lord, that this body would just come together in your great love. And Father, that your light would shine forth through this body, and that others would come to know you in the power and demonstration of your spirit, that others would come to know you in truth and in life and in reality, and Lord, that prayers would be answered, and Father, that your kingdom would be glorified, that you would be glorified, your kingdom would come, your work would be done, your will would be fulfilled, Lord, concerning what you have in mind for this local body. Bless each and every one, Lord, as we come to the table tonight, Lord. May we come with a faith-filled heart and in expectation, Lord, that there's healing in the cup tonight. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Blessed be the name.